Now, the last time we spoke with Rory Gallagher's brother Donal was back in February 2012, and that was upon the release of the first batch of Polydor Digipack reissues. And some more came out in September of that year, and now we're talking in October 2013. We say hello again to Donal Gallagher. Hello, Donal.
Hi there. Nice to speak to you again.
And it is nice to speak to you. We had a great chat previously. And emphasising, of course, that since the late 1990s, really, you've been the keeper of the flame, the custodian of the legacy, really. And the latest development in that, in terms of releases anyway, is the release of Kickback City. And all this is having the effect, I think, Donal, of bringing Rory Gallagher's music to a new generation, not least a younger audience, perhaps. But when did this new project start to germinate?
I was working on the Wheels Within Wheels album, this posthumous acoustic album, and I was asked by an American crime writer to write a foreword for his book that he had coming out, because he was such a Rory fan. He was a classical guitarist, and he wants to sort of promote Rory via his book, so he asked if I'd write the foreword relating Rory's work to the love of crime which Rory had. And so I was writing a piece, and I had to take a break from the session with Tony Arnold, the engineer, and I explained to him what I was taking a break for, and he said, oh, by the way, he said, have you read Ian Rankin's current book, Question of Blood? And he said he refers to your brother in that. And so I got the book and read where Rebus, the detective, Ian's detective, is obviously a bit of a Rory fan and likes Rory's music. And in fact, in Ian's crime books, Rebus refers to Rory, and at least the current book, Standing in a Dead Man's Grave. So I wrote the piece, and then that's where the ideas start to pull together. When I looked at the number of titles, and I was aware of Rory's love of crime, and obviously his bookshelves were full of it. Also, when you were on tour with Rory in those days, his one of the suitcases would be just full of hardback books. So it was always the one to avoid coming off the carousel at an airport where you do your back-in. I knew that he'd been inspired by many of the books, or what he read would inspire him. In the more recent times, where he'd written songs, one being The Continental Op, which is a tribute to Dashiell Hammett, the great crime writer. So, it was fairly obvious. Putting all the titles together then began to come a thread. So I wrote a thank you letter to Ian Rankin anyway for including Rory and mentioning Rory in his books. And when I highlighted the point that Rory loved crime fiction to Ian, he wasn't aware of that. So I burned him a bunch of tracks, and then when I started to burn the various tracks, I began to see that there could be a thread of a story through this. Then I was talking to Sony, and they said, well, they wanted to do a collection of Rory's songs. And I said, well, I had this idea to do a crime album, and that I'd asked Ian Rankin, he was happy to write sleeve notes. And then I think it was Dan said to me, well, if you could get somebody like Ian Rankin of his stature to write something more than sleeve notes, that would be fantastic. Anyway, I was going up to Scotland, so I dropped a line to Ian and asked if I could meet with him and share an idea. Meantime, I'd picked up that Rory had been featured in a comic, a character called Grim Jack. It's on First Comics in America. It was an entire comic with Rory as a character under the name of Jim Landon, of all people. But it's a guitar player that this guy, Grim Jack, has to, somebody's trying to assassinate the guitarist. So it's quite an amazing story, but the drawings of Rory are just phenomenal. So I contacted the artist who did that, and Rory was his hero, and he was a guitarist himself, a love of Rory, etc. So when I met with Ian, I proposed the idea of Ian could derive a story from the crime tracks that Rory had written. If he, it was like giving somebody the jigsaw pieces with the tracks, and if he could fit them together somehow and bring a story. So this is what Ian had done. So then in turn, once we had the story, I took it to Timothy Truman in America, who actually does graphics for the Grateful Dead. In fact, I think the new Grateful Dead album, he's done the cover for them. So he's an extremely well-known artist. So I gave him Ian's story and chatted about the style, and Ian was very instrumental in what kind of style it. So it then became a graphic novel. I found that what Ian had written, it was quite a complicated story, and like a lot of those crime things, it's a whodunit, if you like, and you can miss what the plot a little bit, and not everyone, you know, I'll hold my hand up, not the greatest book reader, if you like, so I just thought, well, maybe this needs to have an audio disc, so we approached Aidan Quinn, the actor, currently known for the Sherlock Holmes series.
Apparently I have the sort of face that's deserving of a fist. No argument about that. Brophy was laughing now, bits of food dropping from his mouth. Felt like busting your chops a few times myself. He gave me a wink and concentrated on his hot dog. So, were you on duty the night it happened? I eventually asked. The Dempsey kid? Brophy nodded. Justice never sleeps, Regan. How many times have I told you that? Who called it in? Not sure they ever gave a name. This is Poor Town we're talking about.
We wanted that kind of nondescript detective accent. It could be L.A., Chicago, whatever, because that was the way the piece was written. So by putting that audiobook element into it, so people can actually listen to the spoken word or, you know, get the story that way and may find it more entertaining because you're putting the whole thing into a disc form anyway.
I found Kid Glove sitting against the back wall of Camille's with his head in his hands. Guy was burbling and slurring, pupils like pinheads. Oh, and did I mention the blood, the broken bottle, and the dead socialite with her dress disarranged and her underwear torn? Brophy fixed me with a look. Bloodstains on the dress of the millionaire-ess. That's from a song, isn't it? He watched me shrug before continuing. We kept the stuff about her clothes away from the press, tough enough on our family as it is. She'd been assaulted? What it looked like. Then had half her face removed with something that could never qualify as a surgical instrument. He froze for a moment, remembering the scene. Then thought of something. Your card was in her purse. Is that what this is all about? In a manner of speaking. The kid is claiming he was set up for not throwing a fight. I doubt that'll see him escape old Sparky. The only certainty in my mind was Kid Gloves was destined for that date with the electric chair.